That last.
Yeah, you got straightened out, okay.
Some of the famous words.
That's right. I tell you.
I have to ask though, looks like the same man looking down in the casket. It's the same, it looks like the same person's laying there and standing.
It does, doesn't it?
This is, no, it's his twin brother's what it is.
Oh, it is, okay.
Kind of looks like Joey.
Yeah, or Grant or something. But it's true.
Yeah, hey, how true it is, you know. Some things that we just take for granted.
We need to copy these.
Yeah, we need to get some copies of these.
Put your church info on the other side.
Yeah, that's right, put our church on the back of it, just hang them on us.
Yeah, I know it.
Get straight back to.
Well, that's what I'm gonna do. I got this side fixed and I'm gonna try to come up with
Yeah, that would be nice to put on the back.
The church and the name and everything on the back of it, or on the, well, vice versa or whatever.
I gave you some we had made up there.
Huh?
I gave you some church cards we had made up there. Copy them if you want to.
But
or whatever you want to do.
Well, tonight I want what I want you to do is turn to the last chapter into the book of Job. The last chapter in the book of Job. Well, before we go any further, the jug that I have right here, I should have done it before now, but that's all right. I kept forgetting it and everything, and I made a note, and I have to make notes to. Yeah, I got notes down here, but I have to remember them at the house to where I can think about doing it. But I forgot which way that I said. Do you remember, Shelby, or any of y'all remember what we was gonna take and use this for?
Missions.
Was it missions? Okay.
I think that's what she said.
All right. Well, that's what we're going to use it for, is the missions or whatever. But we're going to take it and I got, which all of you have got the picture and a copy of that a little girl, Hattie Mae Wyatt. But for the 57 cents, well, that's basically what it's for, but, you know, we need to. And that's all we have to do, just put 57 cents in there, or a drink, or some just, you know, and you'll be surprised at how quick it'll gather and go up. And not only that, then everybody will have a part in it and everything, and we can use it for missions or. If it's something else, then at the time, we can use it for that too. But really right now, we use it for missions. And what I would like to do is, maybe if we could start using it, and we get enough to where we can take the missionaries that we have that is on the every other month, bring them up to every month. And I think if we do that, we know the Lord will bless it, because I'm convinced today that right there is the only reason that Faith Baptist Church has not closed its doors. It's because you have been faithful in making sure the missionaries was given to. And you know, some of you may say, well, it's not much. We don't give each one of them much. But the thing about it is, if something does happen and we get to the point to where we can't give anything at all, the missionaries won't miss ours as bad as it would if we was giving them $40 or $50 a month each. Now, I know churches now that give them $50 a month, but they don't have but two or three missionaries is all I have. But I'd rather have as many missionaries as we got at what little we're giving them. And because, you know, God don't say how much we need to give them. But I do believe that God means for us as a body of people that, which one night that Brother Paul, he preached on it, on tithes and offering and giving. And it's more into giving than just the monetary goods, just like he was said. But it would be foolish for me to ask each one of you to give to the local church in your tithes, then turn around and give you an offering, and then give an offering, and then not for the church to turn around and tithe on the whole amount. Now, I think right now, the way I've been reading it, looks like the church has been tithing with what we're getting, because that's going to the mission fields. So, you know, I believe that God honors that. I really do. But I've been wanting to bring it up for a while and everything, but here in the book of Job, we can go all the way back to the first part of the book of Job, and we can see where Job was a righteous man. He was a man that had character. He was a man of honesty also. And Job, he was a man that was not going to go behind his Lord and his God to get something done. He was going to do it in front. He was going to do it in front of people where people could see what he was doing. And he was doing it for the Lord. Now, we can go back and we can go back to the very first of it, the book of Job. But if we did, you know, we'd leave out a whole lot of stuff in between, and especially back at the back. But we know that Job, his children, his sons, that he lost his family. He lost his family because of Satan. Satan wants to take our families away from us. And he's trying it today. He's trying everything he can to get a hold to our families. And if we don't watch it, he will. That's the reason we need to continue to pray for our families. We need to continue to just allow the Holy Spirit to work around them and put the hedge around them, because Satan can come in and destroy the individual. And that's what his job is. And he does a good job in what he basically does. And all of his imps, cohorts, and everything, what you want to call them out here, the angels in the air, we know that that's what they do. They do what Satan tells them to do. And Satan is going to try his very best to destroy the work of God. We've seen that all the way through the book of the Old Testament, where Satan has tried to destroy the people there in Israel. We know the story there in the book of Malachi, and where it comes back down to the book of Malachi, and then it started into the book of Matthew. Between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was 400 years. 400 years. Can you imagine walking for 400 years and not hearing a thing from God? I mean, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine going 400 years and knowing that God is not there, God will not hear my prayer, and God did not hear their prayer for 400 years. Why? Because they was doing everything that Satan wanted them to do. And he's trying his very best to do the same thing today. We today don't have people today that is willing to stand out and stand up for what they believe. We don't have people today that will stand up and speak out against everything that's going on. And why are we going through the trouble that we're going through? Why is the Christians going through the trouble that we're going through? It's because of the past, in the past Christians. We just didn't have enough backbone like Paul had. The Lord Jesus Christ knew that if he could ever get Paul on his side, if he could ever get Paul to walk with him, that he knew that he had a man that would stick with him, that would have a backbone, that would stand up for what's right. And he did, like Paul Sisk brought up one night, that he wrote over 14 books in the New Testament. We know of 13 books that he has his name pinned down on them. And the 14th book, it don't have his name pinned to it. It don't have nobody else's. But you can take the writings in the book of Hebrew, and you can take it and you can search it out all you want to, and you can see where a whole lot of the book of Hebrew come from the other parts of his writings. Now, let's get back to Job. Job was the same way. Job was a man that was going to stick with God. We know that Job, he lost everything he had. He lost his family. He lost his livelihood, his cattle. He lost everything he had. The only thing that he had was his wife. That's the only thing he had was his wife. And what did his wife say? His wife says, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Let's put ourselves in her shoes for a moment. That's her husband. That's the one that she's seen go out each and every day and labor for her and her family, and to be able to provide for them. And not only provide for them, but give a portion back to the Lord. And not only that, But I think he also provided for the people that were surrounded him. But he had lost everything. But his wife stuck by him. And she saw him when he was in, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, with boils. Now, I haven't seen anyone like that. Have you? We can't imagine what she was going through, much less what Job was going through, and what the pain that Job was going through. What pain Job was going through, she was going through the same pain. But she was going through the pain of seeing her husband go out there and take a piece of pottery, and if he had to break that piece of pottery and take it and go his arm, go over his leg, goes over his chest, over his back and everything. Why did he do that? You say, well, that's foolish. Why would he do that? He was doing that where it would ease the pain. I mean, have you ever got a hold to something? Well, it's just like, well, we'll go back, talk about one particular thing. That's poison oak. I mean, you know, poison oak, it don't look all that bad. It's red, and some people can break out in welts. But even though after they break out, they have an irritation there. And for them to feel better, what they can do, they'll take it and they'll scratch it. And they'll scratch it. And it makes it feel better. Donaville. It makes it feel. Yeah. Right there. Well, see, that's what Job was doing. He was scraping them boils. And he was scraping his body to where he could feel some relief. You say, well, how can he feel relief when he was taking old pottery and scraping his skin? He was feeling better. But not only that, what did he do? Then he went out. And after he had made a fire and everything, and probably his wife was probably to cook something for him to eat, he had the hot coals there. Had the hot coals there. Now, I can understand that maybe the potter to ease some pain. But to go and to sit and to lie in hot, cold ashes. Can we imagine what he was going through? We can't imagine it. And that's when his wife says, why don't you just curse God and die? I'd rather for you to just go and curse God and you just go out of your misery. See, she didn't have the boils. What she don't realize, though, if he would have cursed God and died, she'd have probably ended up in worse shape than he was in. Because she'd been lost her helpmate, the one that provided for them. But we look over there, and all through the book, we talk about Job and talk about Jehovah. And talk about God, talk about the Lord. And how Job stuck with the Lord. Stuck with the Lord. We need to stick with the Lord. We need to be like these little sticky things that people put on the floor and everything to catch bugs and lizards and everything. That's what we need to be. We need to be that kind of sticky where we can be so sticky so when we get close up to Jesus
that we can't pull away. We can't pull away. And as long as we don't pull away from Jesus, we'll be okay. But the moment we pull away, the moment we pull away from Jesus, and the moment we pull away from the house of God, the moment we pull away from the fellowship with God's people, and the moment we pull away from reading God's word, and the moment we pull away from praying, and the moment we pull away from doing something for the Lord, and the moment we pull away from witnessing, what is it going to do? It's not going to do nothing but hurt us. Because we're not going to have to go ahead and read the Bible. We're not going to be able to understand the Bible. And when you pray, you ain't going to even know how to pray. You ain't going to even know how to go ahead and talk to someone. Why? Because we done pulled away from our main source. Our main source of the one that can give us exactly what we need at the time and for the time that we're in. But here in the last book, I mean the last chapter, chapter 42 in the book of Job, we see right here, what Job, he judged his own self. Verse 1, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understand not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of my ears, but now my eyes seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust of ashes. Job was judging his own self because Job was doubting in what he had done and how faithful he was with God. But God called Job righteous. God says, Job, you're righteous. You're a righteous individual. I have heard of thee by the hearing of my ears. The hearing by my ears. Have we heard of God? Have we heard from God today by the hearing of our ears? By opening up our ears unto the voice of the Lord. But now mine eyes seeth thee. Have we opened up our eyes and have we seen the handiwork of Almighty God? Have we seen Him go out and do miracles? Have we seen Him go out here and do marvelous things? Do we have the blinded eyes? Do we have such vision that it's 2020 vision, but yet we're still walking around blind? Blind of God, blind of what He wants us to do, and our ears are dull to the hearing. And we don't understand what He wants us to do. The reason we don't understand what He wants us to do is because our ears has been dull. Our ears has been dull to the point of the things that's been going all around us. And we haven't had our ears tuned in to to the voice of God. And the only way we're going to ever hear the voice of God is through His precious Word. That's how we hear the voice of God. It's through His Word. It's through His Word. We can hear the voice of God. But there are people today that won't even pick up the Bible, won't even read it. And we have all kinds of avenue today to have the Word of God right in front of us. We have what you call iPhones now, and the phones now that can go by and they can put up these apps and everything. They can have the Bible on the phones today. They can have the Bible on the tablets. They can have the Bible on the iPads. They can have the Bible on the computers. And we can have the Bibles all around us. But what do? Some people, they don't even open it up and read it. And they say, well, I don't trust it. I mean, I don't trust getting on the computer and reading the Bible. I don't trust it because that was man-made. That was man-made. Yes, man did make the computer. But who gave man the knowledge to make that computer, to build that computer up? They didn't have the knowledge. But who gave them the knowledge to do that? God the Father. Just like Brother Bill, he built me a program to where I can go in on that and I can put my sermons on that. And I can have them there in order. I can have them when they was there. So if I ever want to go back and search them out and see something there, I can. Why? Well, God has given him the ability to do that. God did not give me the ability to do it. Because if I get in there and do it, I'll have everything so messed up it's pitiful. I mean, you can ask my wife, my daughter. I mean, I have my emails so messed up at sometimes. And they said, well, and my daughter come told me, she said, the reason you have your emails so messed up all the time is because the many passwords that you got. And the difficulty of the passwords. Well, when I started out in it, I mean, well, what I learned from the computer and what I've learned on the iPhone and the different thing, I learned it on my own. Didn't nobody teach me. I went in and I played on the computer. I punched it in. If that didn't work, I'd punch something else in. If that didn't work, then I'd search something else out. And I would go in and find it. But that's what I done. But see, in the early stages of it, before they had all of the cyber attacks and all the hackers today and going around, they told you. They said, one day you watch. You watch, you're going to have people right here. That's all they're going to try to do is hack your computer. That's all they want to do is hack your computer. They want to do everything to mess you up. We have 15. We even have as young as 12-year-old kids will go out there and they can hack the United States government computer system. They can do that. And here they are 12 years old, but yet they go up and they spend millions and billions of dollars to come in and set up a system where a 12-year-old boy can go in and hack it and get all the information they want. The individual that hacked, I think it was Target, the other year. One of them was a teenager. They don't know how to work. They don't want to work. They want to just get in there and just come up with something, make up something. And I said this back in the 80s. I said this. The United States is going to be ever sorry
that they ever done away with the draft. Because the draft, and I know that the Vietnam War, I know that was a terrible war there. And I knew, and I know that that wasn't even called for. They was agged on, all of that was. But they still should have had, when you turned 18 years old, that you had to go and spend at least 2 years in service. That was good training. That was good training for an individual going out and learn that you don't go in there and,
I'm really getting up in the morning and then I sleep half a day.
No, they got up 5 o'clock. They got up 5 o'clock, what did they do? They went in there and they made up the bed. What did they do? They made sure the shoes was spit shine and all of that. But that was one of the biggest things that I believe that the United States has ever done that they do, they're sorry for. I mean, I didn't have to go, but I had to go to Roanoke. I had to go to Roanoke and go through that thing up out of where they come by and they check you out and all of that. But by time for me to go in, the war had been calming down. And yes, and I was the oldest in the family, even though my mother had remarried. But still, at that time, the government was not looking towards my stepfather to take care of my mother. They was looking for the oldest one, the oldest birth child. And that's the reason they give me 4F. So I could stay at home and make sure that my mother was taken care of. See, today, they don't, you know, you don't even have to go today. I don't even know why I got off on that. But wherefore I adore myself, abhor myself, and repent in dust of ashes. He repented unto God. Why? He just repented and said, God, if there's anything I've done at all, I'm sorry for it. That's the hardest four-letter words that I believe that it's hard to say. But yet it's easy. You know how easy it is? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize. But people don't want to say that I'm sorry, Father. I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry. Me and my, I used to tell my wife that all the time, just driving down the highway. We'll be driving down the highway and all of a sudden I'll just say, I'm sorry. She wouldn't say nothing. Then we'll go a few miles farther or maybe we'll get back in the car or something like that and I'll start off driving again and I'll say, well, I'm sorry, honey. And then she'll say, just quit saying that. What are you sorry for? I'm a human being. I'm going to make mistakes. And I'm going to say things that's wrong. It's going to hurt her feelings.
And I don't do it intentionally. But you need to have to just get one in and say, amen. I got one on credit. I got one on standby now. I got a sorry on standby. We need to have something on standby. We need to stand by the other brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to tell them every now and then, we're sorry. It's not hard to say, I'm sorry. But we think it is, but it's not. It's easy to say it. Because before I started saying it in any car, I'd say it in my study. I'd be in there in my study, and I'd just be reading or studying or working on a computer or something, and I'd just say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And after a while, you'll get it. Why? Because we're human. We're human. And I'm going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. See, Jesus Christ never had to come to me and say, Donnie, I'm sorry. Because he never makes a mistake. He is the only one that does not make a mistake. Because what would he have to say? I'm sorry too. Just think about it. What would he say that he would be sorry to? The only thing I could think of that he would say, well, I'm sorry that I didn't answer your prayer today. I'm sorry that I didn't go and visit your brother today. I'm sorry that I had to go to the cross. He ain't gonna say that. He's not sorry. He's a just God. He's a righteous God. He is one that sticketh closer than a brother. He is one that's going to be by my side. He's going to stick with me like super glue. And he's not going to never pull away. He has never tried the first time to pull away from me. But how many times have I tried to pull away from him? And how many times have you tried to pull away from him? And not thinking that, well, I don't think I ever did. Well, you mean you've done everything that God wanted you to do? You went and visited everybody that you felt like it needed visiting, that was lost? I don't think nobody in here can say that. That they've done everything, every day of their life since they've become a Christian, that they can say they've done it in the name of Jesus. In the latter part of verse 9, it says, and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And then came there unto him all his brethren,
and all of his sisters. And all they that had been of his acquaintances before and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. Of everything that Job had went through, everything that the Lord had permitted Satan to do to Job except take his life. He could do anything else he wanted to Job but take his life, and he could not take his life. That the Lord had brought upon him, every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yokes of oxen and 1,000 of she-asses. And he had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jeremiah, and the name of the second Kijah, and the name of the third Kinrinahach. And in all the land where no woman found so foul as the daughter of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons and even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. See, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than he did the beginning. For he had 14 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yokes of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons, 7 daughters. You know what I believe? With what this church has been through, with what you have been through as a body of believers, I believe God is going to pour out a double portion of his blessing upon Faith Baptist Church. Why? Because we're staying true to him. We're staying true to his word. And we're not wavering. We're not going to give up. We're going to keep on going. And we're going to keep on going. And we're going to keep on doing the things that we need to do according to God's word. We're going to keep on supporting missionaries. We quit supporting missionaries, you might be going to lock your door, turn out the lights, go home, and then find you another church to go to, because there won't be no need in coming back here if we start dropping missionaries and forget about the missionaries. Because see, the missionaries are on the foreign field. I can't go, I'm not led to go to the foreign fields. Are you led to go to the foreign fields? Are you? If you're led to go to the foreign fields, then we'll just pack up and we'll go find a mission board, and then we'll go sign up and we'll go to some far country across the waters. But our mission is right here. This is our mission. It's in Ringgold, Virginia. This is our mission. It's Danville, Virginia. This is our mission in the state of Virginia. Our mission is to tell people about Jesus. About Jesus and what Jesus has done for you and for me. And I know the church get criticized. We've been criticized. I've been criticized. Why? Because I'm down here. They said, well, you don't have just a handful of people. And I said, well, I look in the Bible and Jesus said that I'm in his hand. So evidently, I mean something to Jesus. Yes. This church right here, it may not mean a whole lot to a whole lot of people out here right now. But that's going to come a day. It's going to come a day when they're going to come in. They're going to come in. And when they come in, it's going to be up to us if they get saved. And once they get saved, we don't need to say, we don't need to turn them loose and say, well, you saved, right? You saved, ma'am. So you go on right there and you read the Bible. You pray. You come on back to church on Monday night, Wednesday night, or whatever night it is, and we'll go out on visitation. No, we have to first take them and color them. Because it says over in the book of, I believe it's the book of Peter, the sincere milk, they are just like a newborn baby. They only milk of the word. They got to get off of the milk. They got to get off of the pacifier. They got to get off of the bottle. And how do they do that? With our help. With our help. We need to call them every day. I can call them. You can call them. We need to stay in contact with them all during the week. And then we need to just say, well, I tell you what. I'll come by there and get you. And we'll go down there to Burger King or Wendy's or Hardee's or somewhere like that. And we'll sit down and we'll drink a cup of coffee together. And if you don't like coffee, you can get you a drink. But we'll just get down there together and just talk. Have a little fellowship. See, they don't know what fellowship's all about. We can teach them what fellowship is all about. We can teach them how to live for God. We can teach them how to brag on God and not be ashamed. And not be ashamed of God at all. Our Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, this evening. And now, Father, we just pray, God. Father, if there's anyone here this evening, Father, that, Lord, that just maybe something was said, and Father, that has touched their heart. Father, if anything has touched their heart and they need to get things right with thee, Father,
We ask, Lord Jesus, that they just step out and come to the front, sit on the front pew or bow down at the altar, Father. And Lord, we just want to thank you and we want to love you because of so much you have done for each one of us. Help us, Father, we will serve you this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.